on one that I didn't feel enthused. I worked on the other one, didn't, and so now I've combined them, and they are kind of, at about midnight last night, in my state of mind, I combined them. Come on, somebody. So this morning, you're going to get a combination of them. And so if there's some fancy 90-degree turns, just hang on, you know, and we'll get there at the end. So let's pray. Our scripture this morning is John 10:10, which is our times that we start. And we do that, and we base it off of this scripture. John 10:10 said, everybody read it with me. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And that word might have life, have it more abundantly, meant that he didn't simply want you to have blood flowing through your veins. He wants you to have health, wealth. He wants you to have life that's abundant. It may include wealth, it may not. It may include health, it may not. I'm just telling you the truth. It may have seasons of this and seasons of that. But I'll tell you, the Lord is in the business of giving you an abundant life. Everybody say amen this morning. He wants you to have more than just blood flowing through your veins. He wants you to enjoy life. And so I'm going to talk to you this morning about this idea. And that is the threefold satanic attack. Everybody say that with me. The threefold satanic attack. Jesus says he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then we'll at the end liken that and show where he came to give abundant life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning in this season of our fasting and prayer. We love you. We thank you, Lord, that there are seasons when we draw near to you. We sense your presence drawing near to us. What a promise that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this morning, we just open our hearts afresh and new. Speak to us with everything within us, Lord. We love you. We need you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. We sang that song this morning, which is one of my favorites from old time, is Lord, you are more precious than silver. And the young girl that wrote that was on a fast, and she had just was on, I think, a 21-day fast, and somewhere around the third or fourth day couldn't stand it and was driving by McDonald's, drove in McDonald's, ate a Big Mac. She felt so condemned that she had broken her fast when she was trying, and the Lord sent a word to her, and in her heart it came up this, Lord, you're more precious than a Big Mac. Come on, somebody. And she wrote the song, and then she changed the words. She said, I don't think that'll be a hit if I write, Lord, you are more precious than a Big Mac. And she wrote, Lord, you are more precious than silver. But there comes, we're doing a 21-day fast together. And like I like to invite you, Wednesday nights we have different groups around the campus, and I want you to stay in your groups around the campus. Kenny's got a group with the men. Janice got a group with the ladies, and they've got going through in the men's. And you guys stay there, but those of you that aren't a part of something this week, I'd like for you, if you would, we're going to have a prayer meeting in here in the main auditorium on Wednesday night. And if you'd like to be a part of that, we'll do it at 7 o'clock, low key. We're just going to be praying together for about an hour or so. And I'd like to encourage you on your time. Also, we're just challenging you on your own basis of what you would like to do in terms of fasting. Some of you have never fasted before. You know, when you fast, somewhere around 10 o'clock in the morning, you get real serious about God. You ever found that to be true? And I want to encourage you, you fast. It may be partial meals or types of food or programs, TV, internet. You do. But whatever it is this week, you get yourself to where you're fasting before the Lord. And we're doing a 21-day fast. This is our second week of it, and we'll tell you more about that as we go along. Jesus speaks about the devil and calls him a thief. Everybody say a thief. And then he adds a couple other things. He says he's there to not only to steal. Everybody knows that's primarily what a thief does. He steals from you. How many has ever been stolen from? Let's just, how many of you ever had something stolen from you, all right? How many of you have ever, no, I'm not going to say that. But some of you have been thieves in your lives. Thank God, thank God for the power of the blood to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the Bible speaks about, and Jesus says, the thief cometh to steal. Now, that's an understandable thing. But then he adds two other things. He says the thief not only comes to steal, but he comes to kill and to destroy. And so those may not seem to add together to a thief, but we'll talk about that in just a second. But I want to talk to you first one, because the first characteristic of a thief Jesus likens him to in John 10:10, and he says the thief cometh not but to, everybody say steal. That means to take someone else's precious possessions without their consent. If you don't believe that's a hot topic, just reach up in front of you and pull the wallet out of the guy in front of you and just pull his wallet out and take it. You'll see how stealing can be a very hot topic. But the devil is at that and around doing that continually. His goal in life is to be, his characteristic in life is a thief. When you're dealing with him, he comes to you to steal from you. Take what is yours to take it his. He takes to strip you of what is yours. You know, there are a couple of different types of stealing if you're in the law enforcement. One is larceny. Larceny is if someone breaks into your home while you're here. If you're here at church and they've been scouting out, know you're a Christian, they say, well, it's time to rob their house this Sunday morning. They're going to be at church on Sunday morning. You go home and you go up to, you know, your house and it's broken into. Well, that is called larceny. It's grand larceny according to the value that they steal. The other thing is stealing is robbery. Robbery is when you go home, they're still there. They rob you in person or you're walking down the street. An embezzler, though, is another type of stealing. And embezzling is one that takes place little bit at a time. And if I could describe the devil of any characteristic of all, I think more than larceny and more than robbery, I think the devil is into embezzling more than anything else. Because if he were to come to you and steal everything at one time, you would confront him, rebuke him, and do whatever. But he's an embezzler in that he comes a little bit at a time, and he takes a little bit at a time to where you don't even notice it. There was a lady that worked at a great firm and a big firm, a construction company, and she embezzled a penny out of every person's paycheck. And there were thousands of employees, and nobody ever missed it until one day it was caught. She was embezzling a penny out of every paycheck, and that's how she was finally caught. But she was making tens of thousands of dollars by doing that. And one thing the devil does, listen, he comes to you as an embezzler. He steals. He's an embezzler. He comes to you little by little, and he begins to take away, you know, well, what's one Sunday, or what's one chapter, what's one prayer time, what's one. And so he begins to little by little embezzle from you the things that are important. But I want to talk to you because this is 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I want to tell you, there is, when a thief goes into a home, many times he has looked it over. He knows what's valuable, what doesn't value. We had a break-in just a few weeks ago here, and they took something. They didn't take the cheap stuff. They just took one important item, one valuable item. And the devil, being a thief, is a good thief in this sense. He comes in. He doesn't steal from you what is not valuable. He doesn't want what's not valuable. He's a thief from the beginning, and Jesus called him that. He's a very, very, very smart thief. And when he comes in, he steals from you what is valuable. And you might not even know it's valuable. They had a break-in one time. They hit all the churches in the area. And the funniest was there was a church out on Lockhart Road. Out somewhere in Central. And they stole their safe. They went in, broke into the office, stole their huge safe they had in their office. And you can see it. They said down the hallway you can see the marks where these thieves had lugged that thing out. What they didn't know was they had lost a combination of that safe years before. And it was absolutely empty. Come on, somebody. But the thief of the devil, he knows what is valuable in your life. And if he's going to go after anything, he's not going after the little things that aren't worth anything. He'll go after what is valuable in your life. And here's where we're going to do a twisting and turning a little bit. Jesus speaks about it. And I want to add this in. Jesus speaks about something in John chapter 2. And I want you to listen because I'll say it, and then I'll read the second one and it'll connect together. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the where? In the what? He found in the... Remember, that's where he was when he was 12 years old. Remember when they came to get him, his parents, and they said, "Why have you treated us such?" And his response was, "Didn't you know I must be in my father's what? My father's house." And he comes now at 30-some years of age, and he draws near to the temple again, and those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables. And he must have reached over and found a rope somewhere. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. He poured over the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business. He did that at the beginning of his ministry. Notice what he does again at the end of his ministry. And his disciples remembered it was written, zeal for your house. Everybody say zeal for your house. Zeal for your house has consumed me. Not just zeal, but zeal for the house of God has consumed me. He's unlike you would think. He's making a scourge. He's making a whip, and he's running up, turning to. He's gone off the deep. He's running them out. And it says they remembered the scripture, zeal for thy house has consumed me. Now notice at the end of his ministry, Mark 11. Then they came to Jerusalem again toward the end. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach them and say, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a what? A robber's. King James says a thieves' den. A robber's den. Now I want you to notice, because in this one, he just, thus says the Lord of hosts. Now listen, this is what he says. What it does is it brings together these two ideas. Because the thing that he said the house was for is the thing that was stolen by the robbers. And the thing that was most important at that point in his mind was this house was made for prayer. But the robbers have come in and stolen it. And instead of prayer, it's become a house of merchandise. It's become a house of making profit, of doing this, of doing business, of doing this and doing that. It became a house of religiousness. Because they were the doves and all that stuff was being sold for sacrifice, but there was a cheating. They were cheating the people. And Jesus comes in and says, the robbers have come in, and guess what they stole? They stole prayer out of the house of God. And they turned the house, instead of a house of prayer, they turned the temple into a place of merchandise or a place of doing business. Now I want you to listen to that, because one of the keys about understanding is this. Can you do 1 Corinthians 9? Do that one before you do Haggai. Can you do that? I'm going to jump around here. But 1 Corinthians 9, Paul wrote this, and here's what he said. He said, I don't know if we can do that. He says, know ye not that you are the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost. This is what he says. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who you have from God, and that you're not your own? Do you know this? No longer is the temple of God buildings and stones. 39:53 is not the temple of God. You are the temples of God. And you've been made for a purpose. But there are robbers and thieves that are coming against you to get you to steal from you the very thing, the primary thing that your temple was made for. You were made to commune with the living God. You were made to walk with Him. And the day is coming when heaven is going to be, we will be His people. He will be our God. We'll walk with Him like Adam in the cool of the day. We'll commune with Him. But the robbers are loose. The thieves are loose. And what they're wanting to do to the temples is what they did in that day. They're wanting to turn them from a house of prayer into a den of thieves and robbery. That's all that's being made of the temple is everyday business, everyday commerce going on. We're just living our lives. We're just building our lives on this age. But we're not really doing what we were made to be. And Jesus came on the scene twice. And both times he said, this is not what this temple was made for. It was not made for doing business. It was not made for doing that primarily. It was made to be a place of communion with the Most High God. And so what happens is he scourges them and runs them out. He says, I'm going to transform this temple back to what it ought to be. That is a house of prayer. And during these 21 days, one of my prayers in my life is, Lord, come into my life with the whips and with the scourges. Run out what needs to be run out. Turn this temple of mine back to where it pleases you. Come on, somebody. Make me what I ought to be, Lord. Make me, transform me back what I ought to be, God. Make, come in and run it out. And so what the Bible says is this, that there is a thief that comes and he steals and he kills and he destroys. And one of the amazing things in the book of Haggai, we'll go back there now. Haggai was a prophet in the Old Testament. And the nation was in Babylon in captivity. And God brought the nation of Israel, a remnant, out and brought them back to the land of Israel. And the first thing God told them to do was build the temple. And they began to build the temple. And then what happened was opposition came against them. The reason God brought them out of slavery, brought them out of bondage, and brought them into liberty was to build the temple of God. And when they started, they did it with their heart. They started building the temple of God. But opposition came and everyday living came. And guess what happened? After about a year of building the temple, because of the opposition, all that, they quit. And they quit for 15 years. They never started building the temple again. They started building their own houses. They began to build this house and that house. They began to build the walls. They began to build. But they left the temple of God alone. And God sends a prophet named Haggai. You may have never heard of him. You'll meet him in heaven. But he only wrote two chapters. And here's what the word came from him to the people. Here's what he told them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time is not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies dead? Now remember, we're not talking about 3953 North. We're talking about you. We're talking about what you're building in your temple, your house, your family. What are you teaching your kids? Are you teaching them to be good kids or godly kids? Come on, somebody. What are you teaching your family? Are they seeing you how to make... No, he says, is it time now, therefore, says, consider your ways. You have sown much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages puts it in the bags or purse with holes. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, blow it away. Why, declares the Lord? Because my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to your own houses. Let me ask you something. What house are you building this morning in your life? Jesus gave a parable one time. He said there were two houses being built. One was being built on a rock. One was being built on sand. That's not two separate houses. Let me tell you, that's you and I. That's how we're building our lives. We're either building our lives, we're building the temple of the Lord, or we're building our own lives. We're either building the Lord's temple, or we're building our own temple. And what happens is, listen, you know one of the greatest promises you'll ever have in your life? God tells you this, if you'll take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. You seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto you. You build my temple, and it doesn't matter what happens. If the earth is shaken, you will not be shaken because you're built on a rock. And God comes in and he says this, are you saying it's not time to do this and that and this and that for the Lord because you've got all this other stuff to do? I'm going to tell you, Brother Samuel, Jasmine's father, many years ago, he gave his family to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him and said that thing, you take care of my family and I'll take care of your family. You do my work and I'll do your work. I'll give you, I'll bless you, I'll prosper you. I will do for you. Listen, unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. You've got to let the Lord build your house. How does he do that? When you begin to build his house in your life. You seek him on your high. You go, you give yourself. And the biggest thing the devil tries to embezzle from you is your prayer time. Why is it worth anything? Well, you know, we got this. This is happening. This is going good. We got enough money. Music's good enough. The preaching's good enough. This is good enough. But then we begin to say, now, somehow we begin to think it's not necessary. But I'm going to tell you something. The embezzler will do that over the sense of time to where suddenly you don't have a prayer life anymore. You don't pray anymore. You don't seek God anymore. How did it happen? The embezzler got in there. The thief that came to steal. One of the most valuable things in your life is your communion with God. It will trump everything else. When you know God, they that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. When you know your God, you know the Bible says a day will come, we'll stand before him, and his words will either say, I know you, or I do not know you. Depart from me. I never knew you. The most valuable thing the devil comes to steal from you is your knowing God. It's not about him knowing him, communion with him, understanding him. And you begin to know, this is, I know God. I may not know a lot, but I know him. Once I was blind, but now I see. I don't know a lot, but I know him. Come on, somebody. So you come to that place in your life where God begins to do tremendous things. But you've got to learn there is a thief out there. One time, prayer is so important. Apathy can grab you at times to where you don't think it's necessary. It's not an important component. It's the most valuable treasure the devil knows. And when he comes into your life, what he'll do is he'll even let you read the Bible. Because the Bible without prayer is dead words on a dead page. It's not a novel you read to learn knowledge only. If that knowledge is only knowledge, it puffs up. But when knowledge is coupled with the knowing of God himself, it becomes wisdom. And wisdom can produce all kinds of things. So what happens in your life, you begin, God comes in and he said, listen, the thief comes but to steal. Everybody say steal one more time, would you? You know, the crisis of our age, the crisis of our generation is not unanswered prayer. The crisis of our generation is unoffered prayer. You have not because you ask not. The crisis of our lives is not unanswered prayer. It's unoffered prayer. Because we think just coming is good enough or being around. But how you can only listen. If you only call on God when you've got a crisis, odds are God's going to send you a bunch of crises so he can talk to you. Can I get a better amen? I'll leave that right there. Some prayer, some power. More prayer, more power. Much prayer, much power. You want to know the power of God in your life? Listen, you need to understand that. How much do you pray? Listen, as powerful as God is, he cannot do anything in your life unless you ask him to. He has given and pleaded with hundreds of exhortations. Pray, ask, and it shall be. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Over and over he comes and tells us, come to me all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. One time the disciples were having one success after another. And they came up on a situation where they could not cast a demon out of a boy. And the crowds were watching them. They were powerless. And Jesus comes down from the mountain. And he comes on the scene and he casts the devil out. And later the disciple says, Lord, why were we not able to do that? You know what Jesus said? He said he gave a lot of things. But he said, but this kind only cometh out by prayer and fasting. What does that tell you they were not doing? They were not praying and they were not fasting. They were not sick. They didn't know they have a touch on God. They had been, the embezzler had come into their life and took away their prayer time. And so Haggai comes and he says, there be a people that will say the time has not come to build the Lord's house. They'll be so busy building their own paneled houses. That is pursuing your own ends, your own means, success in your future. Instead of saying, I better begin to build God's house. If I build God's house, I'll let God build my house. Doesn't mean you let all that stuff go, but you do this. You put him first and you seek the kingdom of God first and all these things will be added unto you. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? So that's the first one. He's sick and he speaks about it. And I'm scooping around here, all right? Now, he's a thief. And the first thing he does is steal, but that's his first attack. But his second attack, Jesus says, he not only is a thief that steals, he is a thief that what? Kill. Everybody say kills. He is a thief that kills. And that means to take the life of another. To kill, to take the life of another one. In John 10:10, let me tell you how he murders people. One of the whisperings of the thief in the ears of people is this thing called suicide. One other thing, listen, suicide is not of your own thinking. Suicide is of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. And when he comes to kill many times, he comes into lives and you suicide. See, some people can still be breathing air, but they've already committed suicide emotionally or spiritually. Or they've already committed it in their mind. But they can also commit it, and the devil can come in and have you feel like you ought to just want to die. Anybody here ever felt like driving down the road and said, you know what, I just ought to end it. I just ought to pull over in the other lane and just hit that 18-wheeler head on. I just ought to kill. I know you won't admit it, but those thoughts come because there is a thief that has come to steal your life. One of the most amazing things I've ever known is why somebody would ever think about suicide because of bills. You couldn't pay your bills. If you can't pay your bills, you're not the one that's going to hurt. Visa's going to be hurt, not you. Come on, somebody. So let Visa go. Take it. You know, if so-and-so left you, if your boyfriend dumped you, one woman said, my husband 25 years ago left to go to the grocery store, never came back. I told him, I said, was he a jerk? Yeah, he was a jerk. Was he a woman? Yeah, he was a womanizer. I said, thank God and Greyhound he's gone. Come on, somebody. I said, there's 6 billion other people on planet Earth, and maybe more than that by now. You can find somebody else. So you never, so the devil comes and he commits this. There is nothing in your life that God cannot take over and redo. God can come back. Listen, God is God's a kind that can recycle your life. Listen, when you come back, God can do tremendous things. I learned this. What you think is dead is only asleep. Lazarus, the Bible says, they thought he was dead, and Jesus said, no, he's only sleeping. Can I tell you, never take your life. Never give in to the spirit of suicide. If you do, you begin to come to the most selfish part of a person's life. Because suicide is selfishness to the hilt. Because when you commit suicide, you leave everybody else to hurt and wonder because of what you did. Never give in to suicide. Never listen to it. Never entertain it. It is the thief. It is the devil. Jesus says he's come to put that into your mind to commit suicide. Some of you may not even think about physically, but you're thinking emotionally. You're thinking spiritually. Never give in to suicide. Never give in to it, because it's the thief that's come to steal and to kill your life. And you can tell him I said so. The next time you're driving, are you going to take those pills? Are you going to do this with the gun? Listen, it is the devil coming against your life. So listen to the Lord. The Lord came to give life more abundantly. All right. And the last thing this morning is the thief not only came to steal and to kill, but the third thing was what? Everybody say again, it came to what? The word destroy means this, to be broken to pieces and not be able to be put back together in its original estate. To destroy means to be broken to pieces and not be able to be put back together in its original estate. Can I tell you something good about God? God is into recycling. Now, some of you aren't, but God is into recycling. You can take a milk jug and put it in a recycling bin, and it could come back out as a beautiful plastic earring. Did you know that? Can I get a better amen? You know, I was reading the scriptures about Rebecca. You remember when Abraham sent his servant to go find Isaac a bride? And he brought her all these rings and things for him. And it says, and he brought her a big ring for her nose. Come on, somebody. Do you ever read that? He brought her a big old ring for her nose. Proverbs says, I read this the other day, Proverbs says that a woman without discretion is like a pig. A beautiful woman without discretion is like a pig with a gold ring in its nose. I just thought I'd throw that out there. That was one of those. It just did something for me when I read it the other day. I don't know where I am. All right, let me tell you this. Let me end up. You know one of the best deterrents, Gulf States, I don't know if it's the Gulf States anymore, Demco, or you know what one of the best deterrents to thieves is? What's one of the best deterrents to thieves? Lights. Light it up. Light it up. You know one of the best deterrents to a thief is if you turn the lights on. Have some outside lights. Have it glowing. Just on and on. I've been to houses, you know, and we get there, and I mean, you know, you get near, they got a motion detector, and it just blinds you. Thieves do not like light. And if I were the devil, the one thing I would do to you is to try to get you unplugged. I'd try to get you away from the Word of God, which the Bible says is a light unto my path. It is. It's a light unto my path. It's the light that tells. It's the thing. And the thing the devil does not like is the light. When Jesus met him that day in the wilderness and began a sword fight with him, the devil said this, and Jesus said, "It is written." And then the thief said another thing, and Jesus said, "It is written." And the thief tried one more thing, and he said, "It is written." He turned the light on the thief. Let me tell you something. You've got to get a hold of the Word of God. Listen, just because you read it will do you no good. You've got to know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free from the devil. The truth that you've got internalized, the truth that you understand. One scripture it says to meditate upon the Word. The word meditate means to ruminate. It's what a cow does when it eats. It eats and then it goes over and it takes it from one belly to the next, to the next. It becomes real. Can I tell you something? If you just read a little bit of scriptures in the morning and you never think about them again, you're like James says, you're like a man that looks at yourself in the morning in the mirror and says, okay, that's what I look like, okay. And then you turn and you never remember what you look like. If all you do in the morning is read the Word and that's the last time you ever think about it, it's going to do you no, absolutely no good. You need to get you some little index cards if that works. Put it on your iPad or your iPhone or put it on your smartphone. Put it on there and then through the day, reminisce on it. Through the day, let it begin to work inside you. Through the day, and what you'll find is it'll be the light that'll turn on against the lies of the embezzler when he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When you get the Word and daily, you just run it through your heart, run it through your mind. For years, I have taken the Word daily. When I've read that day, I just memorize it. I think about it. I personalize it. I put my name in there. I tear it up in my brain. I just think about it day in, day out. And what that does is that changes you. It turns the light on, and it's a deterrent to thieves. But if I were the devil, I'd tell you it's no good. If I were the devil, I would tell you no use reading the Word. If I were the devil, I would tell you you're too busy, you got too much work, you got to do this, you got to do that. Let me tell you something. You need the Word of God. Hath God said? Kings have tried to burn it. I'm going to tell you, governments have tried to take it away, kingdoms. Hollywood has blasphemed it. But the Word of God will stand when this old world falls apart. It said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. You know, the devil knows that's a valuable thing in your life. He's embezzling that out of your life. He knows that's more valuable than the TV shows you watch at night. So he'll embezzle the Word and give you the TV shows. You know, busyness is one of the devil's best assistants at robbery. Because many times it's the cook that is the most undernourished of the whole house. Because by the time they're finished cooking, they don't feel like eating what they've cooked. Martha was like that. She got the good but missed the best. She got filled but really wasn't full. It was like Haggai says, you get bags and you think and they never quite get full. You have garments but you're never quite warm. You eat but you're never quite satisfied. You have plenty of money but it's like it's not quite enough because let me tell you, nothing can take the place of peace. Nothing can take the place of His presence. Nothing can take the place of Him moving and working through your life. It's worth more precious than silver. You can have all the entertainment you want, but at the end of it, you'll know somewhere deep inside, I'm not satisfied, not really. I got to have one more game. Nothing wrong with doing that as long as you put it in right perspective. I got to have one more show. I've got to have one more this, one more that. And that empty feeling that comes when it's over, when the season's finale, when the season ends and the championship game is played. And then what do you got? You sit there. But I'm going to tell you, there's something that will last and keep you fed. It's like the woman at the well. Jesus says, drink some of this, but you're going to always want some more of it. I've got some stuff. Once you drink it, you'll never thirst again. Somebody. It'll quench, it'll satisfy the deepest part of your life. But you know, the embezzler comes, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He does not want you to have any part of that. He wants to keep you in the dark. You know, one of the best examples of John 10:10 was Dodie Osteen. Dodie Osteen is the wife of John Osteen, who went to be with the Lord a number of years ago. Dodie Osteen was taken to the doctor. She was feeling bad. She was diagnosed with malignant cancer. They sent her home with no prognosis of help. We can't do radiation. We cannot do, you're too far along. You're too far progressed. We give you 3 months at the most. And so we're not, you know, you choose. She went home. And John, her husband, said this, gave three months to live. She said she opened her Bible and she got this one scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. And he said what she did, what she started, she was at 10 after 10 every morning, a.m. He said she would start in that house and she would scream at the devil, "You're a thief. You're a murderer. You're an embezzler. You've come to kill, to steal, and I command you out of my life." And she began to say, "Lord Jesus, I believe that you have come to give me life and give it more abundantly." And John said she didn't do that just real milly mind. Said she screamed it and said our houses were in a neighborhood where people were around us. He said, "I made sure I was going to work by 10:10 every morning." He said what was bad though was at night. She said at 10 after 10 at night, she did the same thing again. She'd walk that house. She said nobody went to bed before 10:30 in our house because we know mama was going to walk down that house and scream it. "You're a thief. You're a robber. You come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I believe Jesus came to give me life and give it more abundantly." 1 month turned into 2 months. 2 months into 3 months. 3 months of the deadline. She went to 4 months, 5 months, went to a year. 2 years later, God healed her completely. And she outlived her husband. Come on, somebody. He died and went on to be with the Lord. She's still kicking over there in Houston. Somebody say amen, would you? Give a little clap offering. Stand up to your feet, would you? Musicians, come on back up, would you? You know one of the greatest things about this life that we live is insurance. How many's got insurance? You got insurance? You ever watch one of these programs where there's been a disaster? And they go in, they start interviewing people, and if you get to one house, and this person didn't have any insurance, and they say this, "Oh man, I lost a $50,000, you know, stereo system, TV, plasma, all that. I mean, I had all this room. I lost, $100,000 to my house with this and that. Man, I lost everything." And then you go up to someone, and they had full replacement value. You know what they say? "Oh, yeah, we're just glad we're alive. Oh, yeah, none of us got hurt. We're just all alive. Oh, no, all that stuff is insured. We get all that money back. We got insurance." Can I tell you something? You got a piece of the rock this morning. Can I tell you another thing? You're in good hands. And you do have a good neighbor. Come on, somebody. What the devil stole, Jesus can give back to you. Maybe you're at a place, bring your lights down a little bit, would you? Whatever, maybe you're at a place where you the devil, Michael. Maybe you're at the place this morning where, you know, the devil's come in, he's stolen from you. I don't know, whatever, you name it. I'm going to tell you something about a God that we serve this morning. He'll pay back. What the cankerworm and all those insects have eaten says, "I will restore," says the Lord. "I'll get it back." Israel was in Egypt for 400 years. They made slaves out of them, took everything they had, made them work for no money. And before they left, God took care of that one little detail. He did a lot of stuff for them, but one little detail. He said, "Oh, by the way, before you leave, go ask all the Egyptians for their gold and their clothing and all this stuff, and they'll give it to you." And they went and asked their neighbor. The Bible says they were so in stress, they gave them gold and monies and clothing, and they gave them everything. You know what God said? "I'm making them pay you back. I know that the enemy stole that from you being in slavery. I'm making them pay that back." How many know God's into getting payback? I mean, God is into paybacks. You, listen, whatever the enemy stole from you, God wants to pay it back. See, the enemy can steal this, but God says, I'm the great payback. I can bring it back. What the enemy stole, I'll make it. David, one time, the Bible says they came in. He was out warring. When he came back to his camp, it was burning. All the wives and the children, everything belonging to him was stolen and gone. He got down and he quieted himself and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And he heard a word from God, and the word from the Lord was this: "Go back and recover everything you lost. I'm going to give it all back to you." The Bible says he rose up with his men, went back and took hold of the enemies that had taken it, completely destroyed them, and got back everything he'd lost. There may be a thief, but I'm going to tell you, there is a great, listen, there may be a terminator, but there's a germinator this morning. Come on, somebody. There's somebody that's going to come back into your life and give you life, and that more abundantly.
The thief may have taken this and this and this and this, but I'm going to tell you, there is a life giver that's going to give you life and give it more abundantly this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and the thief has come and he's stolen something from you. Maybe you've been an embezzling thing going on. Maybe he's come and he's killed something in your life. Maybe that's taking place. Maybe there's been a destroying taking place in your life. I don't know what the devil's done, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus came this morning to tell you good news. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's open these altars up a little bit this morning. You want a touch from God this morning. You need the thief to be rebuked in your life. You need him to come and have him rebuked. Come on down real quickly. Come on down. We're going to pray for just a few minutes. We're going to pray John 10:10, and we're going to believe God to do and restore some things in your life. Come on, let's begin to do this. Nick, go ahead and lead us a little bit. We're going to pray. Come on. Come on. Come on down right now. Come on. Come on, lift your hands. Come on. Come on down. Just kneel down at the altar. Come on. Lord, we love you this morning. Jesus, we love you this morning. Jesus, we love you.
Waiting here for you.
Jesus. Come on. Come on down. Come on. You need the Lord to do something. Come on.
Here for you.
Come on, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Lord, we love you this morning, Jesus.
You're the Lord of all creation.
Come on, prayer warriors. Come on. I want some of our prayer warriors. Come on down. Leaders, elders, deacons. Come on, guys. Come on, ladies. Come pray. Let's begin to pray for these. Come on.
You love me from the start. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, adore, singing out. Your faithfulness is true. You dance before your presence. That's all we need is you. Oh. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high. It's you, Lord, and it's you we adore, singing out
lift your hand. Job Job was a man that loved God with all his heart. Sacrificed every day for his children. Came up before the Lord. But the day came when the thief came on the scene. To steal and to kill and to destroy. He came into Job's life and he did those three satanic attacks. He stole, he killed, and he destroyed. Job stood in the ash pile of all that he once had. And the thief had done his worst. The thief had come in. And Job, in the confusion of his heart, didn't know anything against himself, was crying out to God. He said, oh, I wish if there was just a mediator between me and God that he would tell me why. And what he didn't know was that he was being refined. And he said these words. He said, but when I am refined, I shall come forth as pure gold. 16 carats not pure, 18 carats not pure, 24 carat gold. You know, it takes to bring forth pure gold, it takes the smith has to run the temperature up to 2,500 degrees. You can't do it with low temperature. You can't do it with just a little bit of it on medium or on low. You cannot bring forth pure gold with even on 3/4 high. If you're going to bring forth pure gold, you got to put it on high. You got to put it on 2,500 degrees, full blast. And what the enemy meant for evil, God will always, always turn for good. And the Bible says this. In the book of James, it says, consider the patience of Job. Consider Job, consider Job, consider Job. That was just a little bit part of his life. Because the Bible says that when he is all said and done, God restored everything. Everything the thief had stolen, God restored it double. Everything the thief stole, God gave back to Job double. He had twice as much. His children were in heaven and God gave him a whole brand new children. He had double the number of children. He gave him double the number of sheep, double the number of goats, double the number of all. He gave him and restored what the enemy meant for evil. And he came to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it not just partially, but abundantly. And this morning I'm going to tell you there's a great germinator this morning. He's bringing, everything begins in seed form. And he's planting seeds of faith and seeds of hope in your heart. And those things need to be watered now. Those things need to be, you need to turn the light on. You need to let the rain of the Spirit fall on your life. You need to let God bring forth and bring to fruit and bring to bear all the things he's planting in your life. Be jealous over that which God has given you this morning. Don't let it be gone in a day or two. Don't let it be like a diet exercise. I'm going to do this, do that, then you're off of it in a week. Get back on there. Begin to seek God with all your heart. These 21 days, we're going after God. These 21 days, we're drawing near to God. We're drawing near to him. I want to end up this morning singing a song, The More I Seek You, The More I Find You. I want you this because, listen, the more that you begin to seek after him, the more you'll find him. The more you seek after him. Come on.
I seek you.
Come on. Thank you, Father.
The more I find you.
So what's going to happen this week? It's 21 days. Listen.
The more I find you.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more I love you.
Here's what we're going to do.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm lost in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Sing it again, come on.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you, and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can
say. I'm lost
in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Father, we love you this morning, and we say it with all our hearts. And we want to know you, Lord, more than we've ever in our lives. I love you, Jesus. Lord, I want this church to love you with all our soul, strength, might, everything within us. And we will seek you and find you. We love you, Lord. You'll do a work in us that only you can do. So, Lord, we this morning, we commit that we're going to build your house. This week, Lord, we're going to build your temple. We're going to build your temple. We're going to be building your temple. We're not going to be worried about ours as much as yours. We're going to seek yours first and believe that you'll add everything to us. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Give them a good clap offering, would you? Turn around and give somebody a good high five right now. Would you do that? God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night in all the different groups in the prayer meeting. God bless you. You go and the Lord be dismissed. Oh, I can't believe-